¡Aló! De la media en Nicos Lagunina. Băiatul tu cu orașele. Facem harta României și ne-am oprit la Brăila. Ascultați-o fața pentru toți brăilenii. Am ajuns și la Brăila.
Hello again, I'm Adrian Iosifescu, your host of the History of the Romanian Jews podcast, and this is episode 42, where we transit from the Principality of Moldavia to Wallachia and start looking at the Jewish life in the cities of Brăila and Galați. Please see their location on the Romanian map presented in the notes. You just listened to Nicos Dragulina's song Pentru Brăila, or in English For Brăila. A link to the full recording is provided in the episode notes. Brăila is a port for grain export and a commercial center on the Danube River, close to where the river flows into the sea. It was subservient to the Turkish Pasha from 1550, and its former name was Ibrailov. In Jewish sources, it is known as Brilov, that is called Ibrăila, a city located on the Tuna River and on the waters of springs. During Middle Ages, its commerce spread far, and its ships conducted trade as far as Genoa in Italy. The first Jews settled in Brăila during the 15th century. The majority of them were of Sephardic origin. They lived on the Jewish Street, which where the synagogue was, and also the cemetery under their control, both destroyed in 1819 by a Russian bombardment. In a letter from July 20, 1783, the Austrian explorer Lieutenant Mihanolovits stated that in Brăila, alongside Romanians and Turks, there were also a few Jews, probably merchants. In November 1795, a firman issued by the Sultan requested that the Cadi and Nazar of Brăila to refund the custom duties abusively collected from Jewish merchants. The first statistical and demographical information regarding the ethnic composition of Brăila appears in Grigore Tăut 1828 map. According to it, 120 families live in Ulița Târgului, with stores of which 21 were Jewish families. It seems that some of them had settled in the city of Brăila around or earlier than 1821-1822. In Brăila, Jews belonged to both Sephardim and Ashkenazi. If the former were characteristic of Wallachia, the Ashkenazi arrived in the city of Brăila via internal immigration from north to south, entering the Wallachia from Moldavia. The movement of Jewish families to the Danube cities was voluntary and was based on economic and commercial opportunities. The professions practiced by Jews in the city of Brăila are not difficult to identify because in order to allow them to settle in the town, Jews had to demonstrate their social usefulness from the beginning, linked to the financial capital they held or to their occupation. Those who could not provide their usefulness were immediately expelled. In the 1828 census of Grigore Tăut, the occupations of these Jews were also mentioned: merchants, tailors, tavern keepers, and servants. 9 years later, in 1837, the Jews are listed as having the professions of merchants, tavern keepers, watchmakers, shoemakers, commission agents, tailors, carters of carriers, glaziers, glassmakers, hatmakers, carpenters, tinsmiths, painters, and money changers. When Brăila became part of Wallachia through the Adrianople Agreement in 1829 and the port was declared a free port, Jews began to flock to it. They arrived primarily from northern Moldavia, from the district of Botoșan, Dorohoi, and Iași. The Jewish settlement in Brăila was not regarded kindly by the local police. They would steal their property and expel them. Intervention and bribes were necessary to allow them to return. For example, in 1837, there were 72 Jewish families in the cities, of which only 14 had a right to residency. The rest were expelled by the order of the Interior Ministry on the pretext that they were not homeowners. In 1841, the city council objected to the restrictions that were imposed upon the Jews by the Interior Ministry with regard to rights of residency on the basis that the city requires trustworthy people of wealth, even if they were of a different religion. The Jews increased in number through the support of the city council, despite the fact that the Interior Ministry renewed its restrictions several times. Until the middle of the 19th century, the Jews lived in peace with their neighbors, Greeks, Bulgarians, and a small number of Romanians. During the 1863-65, Romanian merchants from Transylvania began to settle in Brăila, and anti-Semitism began to increase. During the later half of the 19th century, a wave of Jewish persecutions afflicted Romania, including Brăila. The law against peddling that was passed in 1855 and stubbornly enforced affected almost 300 Jewish families in Brăila. The restrictive laws against Jews forced the Jews of Brăila to emigrate at the beginning of the 20th century, and they form a large part of the immigration of Romanian Jews to the United States. In 1903, 439 Jews from Brăila immigrated to the United States. In 1906, there were 785 Jewish tradesmen in Brăila, compared to over 3,000 Romanians and over 1,500 others. The Jewish merchants were occupied in wholesale commerce and trade in wool, textile, and clothing. According to communal census of 1915, approximately 50% of the Jewish population were tradesmen. The other 25% were merchants and practitioners of the free professions, and the last 25% were temporary workers. Brăila's unique character was defined by the famous cosmopolitan waterfront, the Faleza, where Greek, Jewish, Armenian, and Italian merchants all had offices and coffee houses. Another unique element was the city's famous covered market, Piața Halelor, largely run by Jewish small traders and artisans along the larger export merchants. One of Brăila's interesting features was the competition and cooperation between Jewish and Greek merchants. Greeks dominated certain shipping routes, especially to Ottoman ports, while Jews dominated inland financing and brokerage. Mixed partnerships were common, especially for larger export deals requiring both river logistics and sea connections. The first Jewish organization in the city was the Jewish Guild. During the time of the Valachian ruler Stirbei, a Jewish leader was chosen by the member of the guild. The head of the guild, Israel Bohor, would report on transgressions and Sabbath violations to the authorities. After the guild was abolished, the Jewish community reorganized. The authorities recognized it and even gave it the rights of trusteeship for inheritances. A new style communal council was organized in 1905 through elections. There were two Jewish cemeteries in Brăila, one from 1830 and the second from 1840. The oldest synagogue was the synagogue of the Sephardim, which was built in 1830. The mikvah, ritual bath, was also built in its courtyard. The Haikal synagogue was built in the same place in 1862. A large synagogue was built in 1832, which housed a Torah scroll that, according to tradition, had been brought to Yassi by the exiles of Spain. It was also housed a Hebrew library. There were eight synagogues and six Beit Midrash study halls in the city prior to the First World War. This included the Synagogue of the Tailors in the courtyard of the Great Synagogue, the Synagogue of the Carpenters, and the Synagogue of the Other Tradesmen. An old age house was built in 1888 containing 30 beds for the elderly without differentiating by religion or nationality. The community set up an infirmary in the middle of the 19th century. In 1875, the Zion office opened a fourth grade school with over 125 students. In 1875, the Zion office opened a four-grade school with 125 students. They were on the verge of purchasing a lot for the building of the school, but the court refused to authorize the purchase. Only 2 years later was the building built and dedicated in 1882. In 1883, 200 students studied in the school, and in 1890, 300. A second elementary school was opened in 1893, called Shovevei Sfat Kodesh, Lovers of the Hebrew Language, with 80 students, mostly from poor families. In 1896, the community decided to merge these two institutions. In 1895, Agudat Am founded a night school for adults in the public school building. It taught foreign languages as well as science and Jewish history. In 1897, the Zion office opened a school for girls called Baroness de Hirsch, in which 87 students studied in two grades. In 1903, an actual building was built for this school. A kindergarten with Hebrew as instructional language was built in 1908. In 1907, 700 students studied in the community schools, half of them without paying tuition. That year, a Talmud Torah with 70 students was founded. In 1910, 563 students studied in the boys' school and 410 in the girls' school. That year, 160 boys and 140 girls studied in the public schools, by comparison. In 1912, Al Yeshuri School was founded with four classes and 130 students. Let's now look at some of remarkable rabbinical leaders in Braila. Several renowned rabbis served in the rabbinate of Braila. Rabbi Yaakov Margulies, who had arrived from Hotin, Bukovina, served from 1849 to 1871. Several of his halakhic responsa are included in the book Shoel Umeshiv of Rabbi Yosef Shoal Halevi Nathanson of Lvov. After his death, his two children, Zalman Godel and Aharon Margulies, served in the rabbinate. They were followed by his grandson, Israel Margulies. During the years 1862-73, Rabbi Avner Kasvan, born in 1831, served in the rabbinate. He subsequently moved to Rimni Kusarat, where he died, in 1898. He was active in the movement for the settlement of the land of Israel. From 1874, Rabbi Shlomo Mender Meir, the son of Rabbi Menachem Mender Meir, born in 1850, served in Braila. He was known as a great scholar and was the author of the book Divrei Shlomo, published in Siget in 1906. Another important figure was Rabbi Meir Tenen. He was a highly esteemed rabbi, prominent spiritual leader and scholar who served the Jewish community of Braila until 1940 and is recognized for compiling his own prayer books and authoring the first Romanian translation of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur prayers. There are some important Jewish artists, intellectuals, and civic leaders born in Braila to be mentioned here. The first one is the painter Max Herman Maxi. Unlike most of the other important figures of the Romanian avant-garde, Jewish painter Max Herman Maxi never left Romania. He was born in 1895 in Braila, and his family moved to Bucharest in 1901, where he attended school. His first exhibit of his paintings and drawings in Iasi, followed by two one-man shows in Bucharest. In 1923, he started collaborating at the literary avant-garde magazine Contemporaneo, and is the organizer of the first Contemporaneo International exhibit, which drew renowned foreign artists like Paul Klee, Hans Arp, Kurt Schwatters, Hans Richter, as well as well-known Romanians like Marcel Iancu, Brâncusi, Arthur Siegel, Victor Brauner. In 1925, he started another publication, Integral, with Ilarie Voronka, Ion Călugăru, Bruna Fox, and Benjamin Fondane. He illustrated books by Sasha Pană, Ilarie Voronka, Ion Călugăru, and Tudor Arghezi, designed stage sets for the Jewish Barașeum Theater in Bucharest, and taught at the Jewish Art School. In 1949, he was appointed director of the Bucharest Museum of Art. Another important Jewish personality from Braila is Mihail Sebastian, born Yosef Mendel Hector, son of Mendel and Clara Hector, near Wemtraum. After completing his secondary education, Sebastian studied law in Bucharest, but was soon attracted to the literary life and the exciting ideas of the new generation of Romanian intellectuals, as epitomized by the literary group Criterion, which included Emil Cioran, Mircea Eliade, and famous Eugen Ionescu. Sebastian published several novels, including Accidentul, The Accident, and Orașu cu Salcâmi, The Town with Acacia Trees, heavily influenced by French novelists such as Marcel Proust and Jules Renard. He legally changed his name from Yosef Mendel Hector to Yosef Mihail Sebastian in April 1935. Although initially an apolitical movement, Criterion came under the increasing influence of Ionescu's brand of philosophy called Traorism, which mixed jingoistic nationalism, existentialism, and Christian mysticism, as well as that of the fascist and anti-Semitic paramilitary organization known as the Iron Guard. As a Jew, Sebastian came to be regarded as an outsider within the group, even by his friends. In 1934, he published another novel, The 2000 de ani, for 2000 years, about what it meant to be a Jew in Romania, and asked Nae Ionescu, who at that time was still friendly with Sebastian, to write the preface. Ionescu agreed, generating uproar by inserting paragraphs both anti-Semitic and against the very nature of the book to introduce. Sebastian decided to take the only intelligent revenge and publish the preface by Nae Ionescu, which only highlighted the controversy. Sebastian's decision to include the preface prompted criticism from the Jewish community, as well as the far-right circles patronized by Ionescu and the Iron Guard. The anti-Semitic daily newspaper, Sfarma Piatra, literally meaning breaking rocks, denounced Sebastian as a Zionist agent and traitor. Despite Sebastian's vocal declaration, he was a proud Romanian with no interest in emigrating from his homeland. In response to the criticism, Sebastian wrote Cum am devenit hooligan, How I Became a Hooligan, an anthology of essays and articles depicting the manner in which 2000 years book was received by the Romanian public and the country's cultural establishment. In the book, he answered his critics by holding up a mirror to their prejudice, detailing and assailing the claim of both his right-wing and left-wing detractors. He addresses the rabid anti-Semitism of the former in a clear and unaffected manner, underlying its absurdity. I was born in Romania, and I'm Jewish. That make me a Jew and a Romanian. For me to go around and join conferences demanding that my identity as a Jewish Romanian be taken seriously would be as crazy as the lime trees on the island where I was born to form a conference demanding their rights to be lime trees. As for anyone who tells me that I'm not Romanian, the answer is the same. Go talk to the trees and tell them they are not trees. Sebastian became known in Romanian literature mainly for his plays, such as Steaua Fără Nume, The Star Without a Name, Jocul de Vacanța, Holiday Games, and Ultima Oră, Breaking News. Another important personality born in Brăila is Ilarie Voronca, born Edward Marcus in 1903, a central figure in the Romanian-French literary avant-garde in the early 20th century. In his early years, he was connected with Eugene Lovinescu's Zburătorul group, making his debut in 1922 in the Zburătorul literature with some symbolist pieces inspired by the works of George Bacovia and Camille Baltazar. A year later, Voronca adopted a change in style, adhering to the modern manifesto published in Contemporaneu and contributing to literary magazines such as Punct and Integral. He and Stefan Roll issued a constructivism-inspired magazine entitled 75 HP, of which only one number was ever printed. In 1925, he collaborated with Victor Brauner on Pictopoesie for a portrait of himself. He settled in France in 1933 and began writing in French. Several of his works were illustrated with drawings by Constantin Brincusi, Marc Chagall, and Victor Brunner. A French citizen in 1938, Voronka took part in the French resistance during the Second World War. He visited Romania in January 1946 and was acclaimed for his writings and anti-fascist activities. He committed suicide later in the same year. The last Jewish personality I will mention related to Brăila is myself, Adrian Iosifescu. Although I was born in Brăila, I always consider myself to be a Bucureștian from Bucharest because I spent most of my youth years in Bucharest. My family left Brăila when I was 1 year old, when my father, a judge, was assigned to Galați, where my brother was born, and shortly after, my father was assigned to Bucharest, and the whole family moved there. In Brăila also operated important business families. The Davidovich family operated grain warehouses and were involved in river transport, owning and chartering barges on the Danube. Doru Davidovich was a highly celebrated Romanian military pilot and science fiction writer, often compared to Antoine de Saint-Exupéry due to his dual mastery of aviation and evocative literature. On April 20th, 1989, his MiG-21 fighter jet crashed during a routine training flight over Bărăganu Brăila, making a poignant end to his career and cementing his name in the region's contemporary history. The Frankel family represented Viennese banking interests in Brăila, providing credit to grain merchants and landowners ahead of the harvest season. This kind of pre-harvest financing, known in Brăila as Zarafi activity, was crucial to the entire agriculture export economy. They also ran Moderna, a major printing and lithography house based in Brăila, which played a significant role in documenting and distributing the cultural history of the region. The Moscovici family was involved in the timber trade coming down the Siret and Prut rivers into the Danube. Logs floated down river and were then sold to shipbuilders and construction merchants in Brăila. Sergiu Moscovici was born on July 14, 1925 in Brăila in this Jewish family of grain merchants. In France, he became one of the most influential figures in modern psychology, recognized globally as the founder of European social psychology and the pioneer in political ecology. His uncle, Ilie Moscovici, was a highly prominent militant journalist and leader of the Romanian Socialist Democratic Party. The Lobel family was a prominent and influential Ashkenazi Jewish family in Brăila, deeply woven into the city commercial, financial, and cultural evolution starting in the 19th century. As Brăila transformed into a wealthy freeport boomtown on the Danube River after 1929, members of the Lobel family emerged as pioneer merchant bankers, property owners, and publishers. Historical census data and trade records from the 1830s identify Lobel as one of the few initial heads of families who spearheaded the early trade boom. They established Brăila as Wallachia's primary commercial gateway to the Black Sea. Samuel Lobel was a prominent 19th century real estate owner whose legacy stands in the heart of the city. His historical residence property, known as Samuel Lobel Building, is located at the intersection of Galați Street and Traian Square. Beautifully restored in 2011, it functions as the Brăila County Center for Preservation and Promotion of Traditional Culture. Jacob Lobel acted as a vital advisor and partner to his brother-in-law, Jacob Marmoriș, in the banking business. Lobel's financial acumen ultimately led him to become the Bucharest branch manager of the prestigious Ottoman Imperial Bank in 1865. His earliest ventures laid the groundwork for what became the Marmoriș Blank and Co. Bank, the largest financial institution in modern Romanian history. Active in the late 19th and early 20th century, Louis Lobel was a known local publisher and postcard editor. Many vintage collectible postcards illustrating early Braila's famous Lac Seurat Salt Lake resort and architectural streets bear his imprint. Let's move over now to the other city, the city of Galați. Galați is a port city by the Danube near the estuary of the rivers Siret and Prut, both running through the Carpathian woods. The city was famous in exporting grain and was a center for import for the wood, iron, and the fishery industries. Galați was arguably the most important Jewish commercial hub on the lower Danube. Galați's geographic position at the confluence of Danube, Prut, and Siret rivers, facing the Russian Empire and the Ottoman world, made it one of the most dynamic commercial cities in Romania, and its Jewish community one of the largest and most strategically placed in the country. The name Galați was first mentioned in Romanian documents from the 15th century. The first Jews settled there towards the end of the 16th century. Tombstones from the years 1590-95 were found in the old cemetery mentioning Jewish names. A second cemetery was established in 1629. Interestingly, however, other historical sources mention, without, however, clear evidence, that the first Jews settled on the banks of the Danube since the time of the Khazars, a population of Turkish origin who converted to Judaism in the 8th century, our era. In the middle of the 17th century, there was also a large Jewish settlement in Galați. The Jews were living in a quarter called the City Valley, but had to abandon it in 1770. They settled in a new quarter that they developed. The traders among them lived on Jewish road, and the craftsmen lived on separate roads according to their crafts, the furrier road, the shoemaker road, etc. In 1744, a new cemetery was established instead of the previous one that was ruined. In the 18th century, Galați was the most important port in Moldavia. It was inhabited by many Greeks, Bulgarians, who also traded, and the competition between them and the Jews became anti-Semitic in nature. In the beginning of the 18th century, during the Turkish reign, Galați came down in the world, but regained its grandeur again right after the signing of the Adrianopolis Pact in 1829 and following its declaration as a free port in 1834. Romania's 19th century economy ran on grain exports, wheat, corn, and barley grown in Wallachia and Moldavia. These goods needed to reach Western European and Ottoman markets, and the route was from the estate on River Bages to Galați and Braila, from there to the Black Sea and Constanța, and directly through the Sulina Channel, and from there to the world markets. Jewish merchants inserted themselves at every link in this chain, as brokers, warehouse operators, shippers, financiers, and insurers. The free port status attracted foreign merchant communities, including Jews, Greeks, and Armenians. Jewish merchants benefited enormously from this city status, importing manufactured goods from Austria and Britain in exchange for grain, essentially running a two-way trade. Jewish merchant families dominated the Danube grain export trade. The Galați Stock Exchange, the Bursa, established in the mid-19th century, functioned largely through Jewish brokers. The Jewish population numbered around 7,000 in 1841, doubled to 14,000 in 1894, and then over 19,000 in 1930, about 20% of the population, and again 13,000 in 1942. By 1860-80, Jews made roughly 30 to 40% of Galați's population. The community was a mix of Sephardic Jews, older families, some with Ottoman connections, and Ashkenazi Jews, the newer arrivals from Galicia and Russia. The organization of Jewish business had begun as early as the first half of the 19th century through professional organizations in response to the refusal of local guilds to accept Jewish craftsmen. Thus, in 1826, the Guild of Jewish Tailors was established. In 1874, the Society of Jewish Craftsmen. In 1893, the Society of Port Officials, and in 1895, the Association of Jewish Tanners and Dyers, as well as the Society of Jewish Butchers. In banking and insurance activities, the presence of Jews was equally consistent. Marmaros Bank had three branches in Galatz, only in Bucharest there were more. Other banks would be Banca Moldova, director was Goldring, Banca de Credit Română, director Rössler, Banca Comercială Română, director Orenstein, Banca de Credit Mărunt, director Iancu, and Banca Rubinstein. In the history of Galatz, the Jewish community was, as in industry and commerce, the driving force of social activities. In 1874, the Society for Aid and Welfare of the Israeli Craftsmen of Galatz was established, which provided assistance to the sick and the families of the deceased. The society also provided donations to the Association of Jewish Students in Bucharest and Chernowitz, as well to the local children's orphanage, the elderly home, and the Jewish canteen. The Jewish community of Galatz established the first health house as early as 1834, which also served as an improvised hospital during the cholera epidemic of 1849. When the issue of transforming the health house into a hospital arose, in order to obtain the necessary funds, Prince Mihail Grigore Sturza was asked to provide a special tax on goods exported and imported by Jewish merchants. This request was approved by the Charter of February 23, 1846. This charter also constitutes an implicit recognition of the Jewish community of Galatz as a legal entity. In 1903, the new premises of the Israeli Hospital, the current Buna Vestire Hospital, were inaugurated, which was visited in 1906 by the princely couple Maria and Ferdinand of Hohenzollern, who appreciated the good functioning and modernity of the institution, which provided medical assistance for all ethnic groups. During the First World War, this hospital was transformed into a military hospital and currently functions as a maternity hospital. Before the Second World War, 22 synagogues, a kindergarten, two elementary schools for boys and one for girls, a secondary school, a trade school, a hospital, an orphanage, and an old age home, and two mikvahs served the Jewish community. One aspect that reveals the rapid growth of the Jewish population in Galatz is the construction of numerous synagogues by different categories of parishioners who frequented them. Thus, in 1780, the Great Synagogue was founded, in the courtyard of which a mikvah with steam was installed. The Great Synagogue also functioned as the first headquarters for the Jewish community of Galatz. In 1805, the Shevra Kadisha was established, which took over the burial duties. Other synagogues we should mention are the Croitoris Synagogue, the Taylor Synagogue from 1826, the Shabbat Synagogue from 1846, the Blintzer Synagogue from 1847, the Blicher Synagogue again from 1847, the Oel Synagogue from 1848, the Dollinger Synagogue from 1854, the Ferrari Lord Synagogue, the Blacksmith Synagogue from 1856, the Merari Synagogue, the Upper Grower Synagogue from 1858, the Birjari Synagogue, Cabman Synagogue 1860, and the Caritas Synagogue of 1871. The Meseriashilo Synagogue, the Craftsman Synagogue inaugurated in 1896, remained the sole surviving synagogue from this era. The impressive synagogue itself was completely renovated in 2014 through the efforts of the Jewish community. A special mention deserves the construction of a choral temple in Galatz, which was inaugurated in 1885, but was demolished in 1942 as the building was seriously damaged following the earthquake of November 1940. The request for approval of the demolition addressed to the Ministry of Interior by the City Hall is also a demographic document, as it mentions that in Galatz the Jews had 24 houses of prayer for 13,000 souls, while there were only 21 churches for over 75,000 Christian Orthodox believers. Despite its economic and social importance, the Jewish community of Galatz went through many traumatic moments, the result of ethnic persecution. The violence of 1796 against the massive migration of poor Jews from the Austro-Hungarian Empire is recorded in Romanian documents. In 1821, during the day of the Greek uprising, 3,000 Greeks broke into the city and with the local Greeks put the city on fire. The synagogues were burned. The Jews took shelter in the Austrian consulate yard for a few days and then boarded a ship and transferred across the River Prut to Renin in Bessarabia. The Austrian consulate also rescued the Torah books saved from the synagogues. One Jew was killed during the riots and all the Jewish stores and flats were looted. Every year during the winter and at the beginning of the spring, many sailors from Greek ships stayed in the city, waiting for the Danube to throw. Those sailors used to get wild and harass the Jews. They were parading a doll dressed with the traditional Jewish clothes in the street and mock it. This happened again and again every year at Easter Eve. The Scottish missionaries, A. Bonair and Robert McCain, who visited Galatz in 1839, wrote about this so-called tradition. Anti-Semitic excesses were recorded in Galatz in March and April of 1847 and reported in the international newspaper Der Orient. Hundreds of Jews were beaten and robbed, and the synagogue of Dollinger, Oil and Goetzmann and the Greek synagogue were devastated. The same thing happened again in 1859. Also in 1859, a blood libel was staged. Several Jews were arrested one night with the accusation that they drew blood from a Greek child's arm for Passover. Several Jews were murdered, many beaten, and their homes looted. The riots continued for 3 days and ceased only after delegates from foreign countries intervened, especially the French one and Baron Rothschild. In 1867, the Galatz drowning episode took place, which caused international protests. Several Jews were killed by drowning in the Danube under the pretext of enforcing a law against vagrants. As a result of the Holocaust during the Second World War, but also of the persecutions under communism, the Jewish population of Galatz decreased dramatically. While about 100 years ago, the community in Galatz had over 22,000 members, representing approximately 22% of the city, nearly 100,000 inhabitants, today fewer than 200 Jews, most of them elderly, live in Galatz. No aspect of Galatz's Jewish history is more consequential than its role as the birthplace and headquarters of organized Zionism in Romania, and, many scholars argue, of the entire modern Zionist movement. From 1881 until 1919, Galatz was a center of Zionist movement in Romania. The first Romanian revisionist Zionist organization was set up in Galatz in 1926. The Pinkas Hakeliot records that at the beginning of 1883, a conference of United Zionist Youth in Romania was held in Galatz. In September of the same year, the third conference of the settlement of Eretz Israel was convened, and it was decided to hand over to Rothschild the management of the two settlements founded early in Eretz Israel by Romanian Zionists, Zikron Yaakov and Rosh Pina. The Central Committee remained active in Galatz for another whole year, and in the summer of 1884, 25 plows and 60 wagons were sent to the two settlements. In 1893, the Galatzi Jewish leaders founded a movement called Shaverei Zion, the Lovers of Zion. Galatzi was also a center of Hakshara, practical training for the life in Palestine. First troops started here by the pioneers from Ukraine on their way to Eretz Israel, and the house in 9 Romana Street was known for years as the center of the pioneers. Let's now mention some of Galatz's rabbinical leaders. In the middle of 50s of the 19th century, the Rabbi Zvi Menachem Pinales arrived in Galatz. He was born in Galicia in 1806 and passed away in Galatz in 1870. He is the author of the Torah Way, published in Vienna in 1861. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel Friedman brought the splendor of the great Rusyn Hasidic dynasty to Galatia's spiritual life. Hasidic courts, such as that of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Herschel Friedman, also functioned in Galatia. This court attracted followers from across the Moldavian region, infusing the city's religious life with the warmth and mysticism of the Rusyner tradition. Among Galati artists, intellectuals, and civic leaders, we should first mention Samuel Pinellas, the single most important Jewish figure produced by Galatz and one of the most consequential Zionists in the world Jewish history. He was born in Brody, Galicia, and he moved his family to Galatz in 1863. Early in his youth, he began his activity in the Chabad Zion movement and submitted to the center board of the Alliance Israelite Universel in Paris periodical information and documents concerning Romanian Jewry. In 1881, he was selected to the board of the Romanian Association for the Settlement of Eretz Israel. He took part in the conference of the settlement societies held in Focșani in January 82 and was elected chairman of the central board situated in Galați. As a dominant personality of the movement, Pinellas chose the official name for the Central Committee for facilitating the emigration of Israelites from Romania and organized a delegation to Palestine in March 1882 to purchase land for agricultural colonization and prepare for the departure of the ship Teris, who transported emigrants from Galatz in August of that year. In 1897, Samuel Pinellas served as the vice president of the First International Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, where he worked closely with Theodor Herzl. Several streets and towns in Israel are named after him. He lived his entire adult life in Galatz, dying there in 1928. He was one of the unsung founders of the Jewish state, and he was eventually buried at HaHamenuchot, in Jerusalem. Baruch Zomer was a lawyer, Zionist, and deputy mayor. The first Galatz Jews who took part in the city political life were Jews from Dobroja, where they were naturalized there already in 1878. Among them was the Jewish lawyer Baruch Zomer, who was active in the Galatz Court of Law since 1912. The Zionist Baruch Zomer was elected deputy mayor in 1928. His election to the city's highest civic office, the only such achievement for a Jew in Galatz's history, represented the culmination of the community's post-emancipation civil integration. Herrick Shane was another Zionist leader and public figure. Herrick Shane was one of the central figures of Galatz's organized Zionist community through the interwar period, embodying the city role as a hub of national Jewish activism. Radu Lupu, born in Galatz, was a globally acclaimed pianist celebrated for his interpretation of the Romantic repertoire. Reuven Rubin was born in Galatz and was an Israeli painter and the first diplomatic envoy to Romania from Israel. Barbu Nemțeanu was a preeminent Romanian Jewish symbolist, poet, and translator. Born Benjamin Deutsch, he was a key figure in the Romanian literary scene and authored poetry reflecting the culture of Galatz. Florin Abeles was born in Galatz and became an internationally renowned French physicist who made fundamental discoveries in optics, specifically in thin films and ellipsometry. Maya Morgenstern is one of Romania's most celebrated stage and screen actresses, widely known internationally for her roles. Her family's origin traces directly to Galatz. Nina Casian was a well-known poet, translator, and composer who spent her early years in the city. Abba Bardichev was a Galatz-born Jewish paratrooper from the British Mandate for Palestine, who was dropped into Europe during the Second World War. For more details about this, please see our episode 22, Romanian Jews Parachuted Back into Romania. Global family, related to the same family in Brăila, was one of the most prominent grain-trading dynasties in Galatz. They operated large warehouses along the Danube quays and had correspondent relationship with brokers in Odessa, Vienna, and Marseille. They also financed small Romanian landowners in advance of harvest, effectively functioning as rural creditors. The Cohen family had multiple branches operating in Galați. Some focused on grain brokerage, others on ship chandlering, supplying ships with food, rope, coal, and provisions. And the latter was extremely lucrative as Galați became a major stop for steamships. The Rosenthal family was involved in both grain exports and insurance brokerage, representing foreign underwriters for Danubian cargo. This was a niche but highly profitable sector. The Brochinder family, which we also discussed when visiting Iasi, was active in Galați. Marco Brochinder was a Galați-born Jewish intellectual and journalist, while his family had deep roots in the Danubian commerce. They are good examples of how merchant wealth funded the next generation entry into professions. Joseph Brochinder was a university-educated historian, writer, and activist. He lived in Galați and published fundamental works regarding the history of Jews in Romania and advocating emancipation. Max Auschnitt, known as the Iron King, was one of the most important industrialists of interwar Romania. Max Auschnitt was born in Galați in 1887, the son of Ozias Auschnitt, who had emigrated from the surroundings of Lvov, then at that time Lemberg, part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. As a young man, Max Auschnitt was sent by his parents to Vienna to study at the Austrian University of Commerce, and then he volunteered and served in the Romanian army during the First World War. In the early 1920s, Max Auschnitt took over a wire and nail manufacturing factory in Galați founded by his father, and built it into a steel mill complex called Uzinele Metalurgice Titan Nadra Calan that included a new steel mill in Ferdinand, now known as Oțelul Roșu, which along with numerous other subsidiaries such as Magazinele Unite, Socomet, etc., employed over 10,000 people. In the late 1920s, having purchased a large number of shares of the Austrian company Steg, Auschnitt, along with Vickers, one of the Steg shareholders that he represented in Romania, assumed control of the company. Steg, in turn, owned a Romanian company, Uzinele și Domeniile de Reșița, a large steel and steel product manufacturing complex with about 17,000 employees that was nearly bankrupt. Max Auschnitt took over its helm and returned it to profitability. As a result of the acquisitions, he became known in Romania as Regele de Fier, the King of Steel. Through Steg, Max Auschnitt also controlled the steel mill Sartit in the then Yugoslavia and a locomotive factory in Poland. He was also a founding member of the Romanian Chamber of Commerce, the Rotary Club, the Jockey Club, and the National Grand Lodge of Romania. In December 1934, he converted to Roman Catholicism in order to marry a Romanian woman, Livia Pordea. His friendship with King Carol II enabled him to secure a monopoly on state contracts in the construction and metallurgy sectors. In 1939, having fallen out of the king's favor, which shifted to his rival, the major industrialist Nicolae Malaxa, he was arrested, tried, and sentenced to 6 years in prison. He was released in 1942 after his sentence was commuted to community service, which he performed at his own former enterprises. After Germany surrendered at the request of the Four Powers Commission, then governing Romania, Max Auschnitt returned to assist in the reconstruction of the country. At that time, he was completely exonerated of all the false charges that he has been previously leveled against him. In 1947, it became evident to him that Romania would fall under the Russian sphere of influence and the country would be run by a communist regime that would truly try to destroy him. Auschwitz decided to leave the country for good. In the summer of 1946, the tycoon left for the United States of America as president of the Chamber of Deputies. A year later, the Romanian communist government confiscated all his properties and later also condemned him to death in absence. He was thus condemned to death twice, once by the king and then by the communists. An interesting note about Auschwitz is the note published by researcher Emilian Tilibasha, who discovered in the British SSI archives a document that indicates that the industrialist Max may have been an informant for the British intelligence services. This concludes this episode on Brăila and Galați. In the next episode, we'll be visiting the cities of Constanța and Craiova. Until next time, be well.